dis-ease I could have, that my God would not stretch out his hand to heal. Thankful for that story in the scriptures of the man that came to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And Jesus ran to him and delivered the situation. And that's exciting to know that maybe we believe for certain areas of our life, but there's other areas that we're stuck, that Jesus is willing to run to us and help us. And I believe that's what he's come to do today for all of us, is to help us. And one area that he chose to help us at the time of Pentecost was through the area of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One being that the one that we'll focus the most on today is the gifts of healing mentioned in 1 Corinthians. So let's turn in our Bibles back to 1 Corinthians 12. When we have a solid foundation, we can stand on it and stay stable. And that's what we want when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start with verse 1.
Do we have a title for this time?
It's going to be Living in the Miraculous, part 5 and 6 tonight, and subject matter being the gifts of healing. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Think about that word ignorant, because it may not be this morning, it may be tonight. That little word's going to come up again, because it can keep us from the healing of God. It says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. You know, as I'm just reading through that part of the scripture, it shows how God's will is to heal, but the way it may come may not always be the same. And the gift that may be in operation for us to receive healing may not be the same gift he uses one time that he may use another time to get you into the place you need. So he is a master at what the situation is. He is the great physician, and so he definitely is the only one that really knows how to diagnose a situation. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You know, just going through every one of those gifts, do we realize that even though the gifts of healing that will be highlighted today says what it's going to do, it's going to bring healing, that all of these other gifts may be involved, or they may actually be a gift that brings healing to you. Just a word of knowledge about something could instantly bring healing to you. The discerning of spirits instantly could break that spirit off of you and bring healing. The word of wisdom, exactly what to walk out. And so all these gifts work together because it's God's power that is working on our behalf, or even an unsaved person, because the gifts of the Spirit were given to prove something about God. Praise the Lord. Now, it's interesting, when I was thinking, a lot of times we talk about healing for people. But do you realize that the gifts of the Spirit can actually bring healing to an animal? The gifts of the Spirit can actually restore a garden. Mm-hmm. Norval Hayes told about the freeze, and through the gifts of the Spirit, his orchard was the only one that survived. So I think a lot of times we limit and we're only thinking about physical healing for ourselves, but there are situations that we may be in that we need healing. And we'll talk about a little bit what is healing. You know, what is the actual word mean? But before we can pray for people, because this isn't just about Lisa ministering healing, this is about equipping believers to be able to minister through the gifts of the Spirit, the healing power of God, or the word of the Lord in regards to the call of God in their life. And so as a minister, as a Christian minister, we must be able to locate, and the gifts of the Spirit are here to help us, to locate where the person is, so that we don't go in and just pray prematurely. Because sometimes there's preaching that has to take place, sometimes there's instruction that has to come forth for the person. And in regards to the gifts of the Spirit, they operate as the Holy Spirit wills. So the Holy Spirit can suddenly, and I've had this happen, and I'll be talking about it maybe again, where the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate, the gifts of healing begin to actually manifest, and I'm just sitting here. And it's not that my hands are burning. I mean, some people say their hands burn, and sometimes they may, and sometimes they may not. It's not about that, because as you'll find out, healing can go across the world. Mm-hmm. You don't have to even be there naturally. But in a local setting, when I'm with people, many times when they come forward for prayer, as soon as I just set my hand on them, sometimes I don't even need to, but many times as soon as I set my hand on them, it's like a projector, and the gifts of the Spirit begin to show me where the person is. Why would God want to show us where the person is? Because we aren't all-knowing, and we are limited by our understanding. And so we can only go, just like he said, don't be ignorant. Because if we are unaware, then we can be disappointed when maybe we had an unction to pray for somebody. Maybe our hands are on fire. But unless we have some more understanding, we may not administrate the healing power of God properly. And it does take practice. We have to ask ourselves, really, Christ in us, is the person ready? You know, I loved going to the mentoring on healing. To me, it was a very, very, very important mentoring for me as a minister, but for me as a person too. So I got a twofold blessing. Because some people do use their illness, knowingly or unknowingly, for a reason. It has served them. And so it is a delicate subject matter. I think how interesting that our nation right now is being struck so severely in this area of health care. Think about that. Health care. And the decision that will be made will affect every person in the nation. You know, sometimes there's decisions we make, we don't realize it may affect everyone. This one, we know it will affect every single person. The problem is we don't know how it will affect, because many of us don't have 2,700 page report, and we might not understand how to decipher the legal jargon, and then we might not understand everything about our nation to know if it's implemented what's going to happen. So even though we have a government, we live under a government, we were warned, I don't know, maybe a few years ago, not to look to the political arena as our source. That doesn't mean we should be ignorant, and it doesn't mean we shouldn't do stuff, because we'll talk a little bit about what our responsibility is later. But this subject matter is really, really important. Why? Because an eternal soul is involved. And when someone leaves this planet prematurely, that's not good. Because they're prematurely ready to meet the Lord. Think about that. Premature in maybe they've never come to know him, or premature in that they never finished their course. When Paul wrote, I fought the fight, I finished the course, that gives me hope, because it lets me know that not just Jesus was able to finish his course, but someone that wasn't as accomplished as Jesus, so to speak, who knew no sin, was able to finish their course. Now, what is the purpose of the gifts of healing? We might say, what would you say if somebody said, what's the purpose of the gifts of healing? What would your thought, what thought comes to you?
Restoring people to wholeness.
Yeah, God wants them healed. Any other thought?
Well, so that people can finish their call on their life.
Yeah.
In health.
Just to demonstrate God's power, too.
Well, it's a means in which the enemy uses to attack people. And it was God's solution in the body of Christ to bring the healing to that, to make it possible for that to be changed.
Yep, these are true. This thought came to me when I was writing this question down. It is proof that it's always the will of God to heal.
Mm-hmm.
When he chose to bring the gifts plural of healing, that meant that there is a cure for every disease. And we learned through mentoring that what is the proof that it is always the will of God to heal is
our body heals itself.
Our body heals itself. It was created to heal itself. You cut your finger, it heals itself. But God uses the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts being plural. He didn't say gift of healing. Gifts of healing. Plural, because there are many diseases. And so there is a cure for every disease, known or unknown to man. Now, I've heard ministers say that they specialize in some diseases more than others. And I've thought about that through the years, because I know there are certain diseases and ailments that have all, they're just healed through my ministry. And my first thought is, I have great faith. It's just faith is there for me to minister at that level. Doesn't mean that all diseases cannot be healed through the gifts of healing. That's one means of healing. But receiving healing on your own is a given for you. God said he'd supply all your needs. So even if it may not be manifest in a meeting, the gifts of healing, that doesn't mean you can't be healed. And this is where I think some people have been disappointed when they've gone to a meeting and maybe the power of God was there and they didn't receive. Well, it could be they weren't in a receiving place, or it could be the minister just didn't have it in them to bring the healing power of God in that situation. But nevertheless, it's still the will of God to heal. And sometimes we may never know. That doesn't mean, oh, I don't want anybody to pray for me. Because divine healing through the gifts of the Spirit is received through the preaching of faith. But living in divine health, you don't get there through just the preaching. You get there through instruction and learning about yourself. Where some people, or many people, I think, come to meetings and they're expecting to live healthy from that day on just because of the power of God manifesting to maybe heal that disease, when the disease may be related to some other things that need to be dealt with. And I think this is really, really important. to understand so that we don't set ourselves up to injure our faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
That He really, really, really desires and wills that all men be saved, healed, delivered, and made whole. But why aren't all men saved, healed, and delivered? Because they're not able to, for one reason or another. There's something that's been unable to receive, whether it be lack of understanding, or as we talk about sin tonight, not knowing how to deal with sin-related situations. So, think about Jesus. Jesus did not operate with the gifts of the Spirit until He was anointed.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at Luke 4:18, when He was initially anointed. Because we don't see Him ministering the healing power of God to anyone until He was anointed. Now, I said that we may go to a ministry and they pray for us and we don't receive healing through the gifts of the Spirit. It may be something in us, it may be something in them, maybe something in both. But there is a reason, and I don't want you to be left thinking, oh man, because there is good news. We don't have to remain where we are. That's the good news. All right, 4:18. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So this was the beginning of Jesus of Jesus beginning in ministering the healing, delivering power of God to people. Jesus couldn't do it without being anointed by God. So it wasn't something Jesus had, it was something God had that He had to bring upon Jesus. And it's the same with us. To minister healing to people, it is an anointing from the Holy Spirit through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Luke 4:18.
Thank you.
Let's look at one other passage and then I'm going to expound. Acts 10:38. I like what Peter said before he talked about how Jesus went about. In verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And I want you to remember that as we go through today, as you may have to face some things in your own life and help people that you minister to face things in their own life, that to be able to be in a position to receive, that He is not a respecter of persons. So He doesn't love someone that receives more than someone that doesn't. And sometimes people can go to meetings and somebody receives this powerful impartation or healing and human nature gets jealous. I mean, that it human nature outside of God gets jealous when somebody is moved ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at Joseph and his brothers.
Right.
It just doesn't like it when somebody else receives. And God wants us all to know today, we all can. We all can, in the power and help of God come to new places of understanding that he wants us well. All right, verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we will not do this any different than Jesus when we go about doing good. Because he kept his heart right, he was able to just go about and have leaps from the Holy Spirit to go and minister to somebody. He didn't go just wherever he wanted. It was just while he was out and about doing the Father's business. And that's why I have had many, many experiences of people receiving healing, and I wasn't in a service like this at all. And I think that's what's exciting. Some people wait for the service, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, wait, because he knows there's something that has to be put in the person before they're able to receive. I believe that's why I have been putting so much in at the prayer meeting, because to bring people up to new levels, they have to have instruction or impartation. If they already had it, then we would just go for it and pray. But if they don't, it has to be put in them. Now, Jesus operated with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, without measure. He had the Spirit of God without measure. Have you ever wondered what that meant?
Unlimited.
Yeah. There was absolutely no limitations in his ability to minister healing. There was nothing in him. There were no blocks in him that limited him. So he could minister to any single disease known to man or unknown to man. And some people will say, well, that was Jesus, you know, so I can't. Well, let's just make sure we're not using this as an excuse. Because I know personally in my own life that I have increased through the years in my measure of the Spirit of God to minister to people. And experiences increase your confidence. Understanding increases your confidence. Mm-hmm. So you can have an understanding, but understanding many times is tied in with an experience that you have. You get to see the bigger picture when you actually get to experience something. That's why experiences affect us for good or bad so deeply. Now, I was told, and I believe this to be true in all of my workings with people, myself included, as one of those people, that 90% of illness is related to people wanting attention. Now, when you first hear that, you might think, gosh, what do you mean people want attention? That's kind of a sick way to get attention. No pun included. On the other hand, paying attention to the illness perpetuates it.
Yes.
So, what was it that Paul said? Oh, what a wretched man I am. I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to do, and I'm doing the things I'm not supposed to do. Help me. But I thought about attention. What is it when you give something attention? When you give something attention, you're looking at something, you're focusing on something. But what does it mean when you want attention? If somebody wants attention, think about when you had little children. If you had little children or younger siblings, or you've been around little children or taking care of little children. When they want attention, why is it they want attention?
That time with you.
Huh? They're trying to communicate something to you.
We were taught in massage that the people that come to us, they don't want attention, they need attention. So we're paying attention to their aches and pains. So I need to divide this. I need to learn this. Do they want it or do they need it?
It's both.
They need it because they're
well,
they
want attention.
They need it.
That's why they're going to the doctor.
They
want attention given to something that they need attention given to.
Mm-hmm.
But unless the person knows how to diagnose properly, many times they diagnose everything but the root of what the attention is.
Most of the time.
Right.
And I believe what the attention is that's lacking is that God cares for them.
Yes.
That we matter to him.
Hallelujah.
So when you hear people say, I don't know why God is doing this to me, that is a terrible sin. That has separated them from the care of God. You know, I think of the medical building that John goes to, has been going to for his leg. It's called Caremore.
Yeah.
And I go back to this one passage in Scripture that I've thought about so much because we live in a world that's fallen and we need a lot of care to get through it. And that is when the disciples had been ministered to by Jesus. They go off in the boat, the storm hits, they're freaking out, Jesus is asleep, and they say to Jesus, don't you care?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that word in the Greek is not the same as casting all your care upon God. So what they were saying is, don't we matter to you, Jesus? Aren't we important? Every single person is crying to be important to something, someone. I mean, they are crying whether we see it or not. People do crazy things for attention. Absolutely crazy things for attention. And that's why many times, even as a child, if a child doesn't get the right care when they're little, they can do extreme things just because it got the parents' attention.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at Proverbs 4 about attention. You know, think about one of those diseases that we hear a lot about with children. Attention deficit disorder. Interesting. I don't know. You know, where. In other words, there is a problem with attention.
Mm-hmm.
They're crying out, I need to be taken care of. Now, it could be something within family history. It could be the diagnosis can only be done by the Holy Spirit. And we can think we know because we worked with somebody and ministered to somebody a certain way. But I am telling you, unless the Holy Spirit tells you, you will many times miss it. Because it sometimes makes no sense. It's like a disease in the natural. A doctor can think, I'm going to treat it this way. And everything he throws at it doesn't stop it because he didn't get to the root of the problem.
Yes.
All right. So says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So he's saying, pay attention to what I say. 4:20 through 22. And then verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One thing that no man can take care of for you is the condition of your heart. Man can assist you, but man was never given the authority to take care of you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so sad when somebody is caretaking for somebody else, the caregiver usually becomes ill. Because it was never meant to be where we put all of our responsibility on another person to care for us. I watched this happen. I understood, just walking through what John walked through, how I had to protect myself. Because we were given the responsibility to prove our own work. Mm-hmm. And so as ministers, our responsibility before God is to help people to get out of that passive state of looking to man to do, or even God to do everything, when there is something that they are responsible to do for themselves. But on the other hand, we don't want them to go off the edge and think God's not going to do anything. But he can only go as far as our free will let him. And so when we get these things clarified within ourselves, it will help us in the healing process. So anytime we're dealing with something physical, mental, spiritual, any troubling, basically what our body, our mind, and our heart are saying is you need more healing and more love. You need more love. You need to more measure of the love of God in you, more measure of the healing of God in you. In other words, you don't have the Spirit without measure yet. He might be in your heart, but you don't have him without measure. And so we need more of him allowed to move on our behalf. And he can't do it without our permission. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of times you say, but I told him, well, there's a block. Mm-hmm. And we're the block. Yes. And we got to find out where the block is. And there is not a human being that does not have to deal with maybe little blocks or big blocks. You remember the little ABC blocks you had in school? You know? And they were taught, the child had to build. Well, we need building blocks. We need these built out of it. We need these blocks moved out of our lives. And only the Holy Spirit can help us. Now, the difference between the gifts of healing and receiving healing by faith on our own, there's only one difference, and that is the vessel that the healing power comes through. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, and today we're talking about the gifts of healing to another person, the vessel God's using is the person that has the gifts of healing moving on them towards another individual. But when we are receiving healing by faith, it is God in us working together. And And when the gifts of healing are in operation, it doesn't necessarily mean... I'm watching Julian writing so fast. It doesn't necessarily mean that your hand will be involved. I think some people think that the gifts of healing are only transferred through the hands, and it's not true. Even though he does say you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Sometimes it's, I believe, as soon as some, and I see this and I experience this when people come for healing and I set my hand on them. Or if somebody just set their hand on you of love, it really is a transfer of I care for you. Even before I may ever pray anything, I just set my hand on them in a gentle way. I'm not talking about, you know, in a cruel way. But as soon as I do, the care of God begins to transfer into that person. But the healing power of God can go through a telephone. Through the airwaves, it can go across the world. It says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. There are times I've prayed and the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, and I actually, the Holy Spirit will tell me to send the healing power of God right into that hospital room, right into that part of their body. And so the gifts of the Spirit are in operation over the telephone
and email too.
Yeah, well, however, he'll use all kinds of administrations of the healing power of God. But the gifts of healing is not giving somebody medicine. It actually is a supernatural touch of God. There is natural healing and then there's supernatural healing. So the gifts of healing are a supernatural manifestation of the healing power of God. Now, the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom may tell the person, go to the doctor. All right? But the gifts of healing are a supernatural explosion of the power of God with the ability to cure whatever it is that person is dealing with. Ask it and let me see if it fits in right
now. You know how it's a supernatural manifestation? In my understanding, and I just maybe need correction, if I take like an herb or something, it does something in my body, but when the power of God comes, it's like an acceleration of what my body would do normally, like how it heals itself. It just is like, it's the healing that could be come by a vitamin, whatever, but it's like super accelerated. Is that... Because that's how I see it in my mind, and I don't know.
I don't believe necessarily it is necessarily sped up, because there's a story of a man that was talking with Jesus, and Jesus prayed for somebody that he came for prayer, and it says that he began to amend. So it's just a supernatural way the person is being healed.
The way
is supernatural,
not
necessarily
the speed. Got it.
And that's why somebody can come, the healing power of God comes on them, everything they needed.
All at once.
And maybe it didn't completely manifest the healing, and they go home and they think, I didn't get it. And what they did is their faith just shut off what God was doing, because they were beginning. And so they lost it in their mind. It's like, wow, something's happening to me. But you know, to keep what God gives you is by faith.
So it's more like the means rather than the speed. It's the way.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's the administration. It's the way God has chosen to administrate the healing supernaturally.
Okay. Without a thing, it's spiritual.
Right,
without
when it's
thing.
The gifts of healing.
Right.
Right.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Just like a doctor in the natural may use different means to administrate healing to a person's body, God uses different means supernaturally. It could be just the gift of faith. That can bring a miracle. That can raise the dead. And some of these gifts have to be in operation for certain things, like a dead person doesn't need to be healed only. They may need to be healed. Like the person that was raised from the dead at Miriam's meeting, the Jewish man, he had diabetes. So when he died, it was the gift of faith, the working of miracles that raised him up, but he was also healed of diabetes. So all these gifts were in operation for him. Because if somebody died, I remember hearing this a long time, if somebody dies, there was a reason they died. So when they come back to life, if you want to keep them alive, they got to be healed from whatever caused them to die.
Right.
Right? Or they would
die again.
It'll come back. And that's why there were times Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest something worse comes on you. In other words, if I don't tell you what you need to do to keep this, you could lose it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So why do we need healing? And I've thought about these things, but it's just good to kind of freshly think about it, and I don't really know how far I'll be able to go this morning. Like I said, a lot we'll talk about tonight, but why do we need healing? Now, what I'm asking is not when somebody's sick, but why does man need healing? Because we needed healing before we ever got sick. Mankind as a whole needed it, because when man fell, even though he naturally in his body didn't die immediately, the death process began. And so that's why the body naturally ages, is because that is the only thing that has not been completely dealt with. It was legally on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. He abolished it by raising from the dead so that death had no more hold on him. But that is the last sting. You know how it says death, oh, you know, where is your sting? So it's by faith in our covenant from the Lord that we can retard anything that would try to prevent us leaving prematurely. Through our covenant. Because originally our body was never created to die. It wasn't. It was created to live and live and live and live and live. So the only reason, because Adam eventually, his body died. Mm-hmm. So that lets us know that sin that hit the first man, eventually the body did die. But back in those days, they lived hundreds and hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. So sin is always related to sickness. Sin is always related to sickness. There's always some relation that a person is sick to sin.
So
whether it be
is always related to sin?
Huh?
Wouldn't it be sickness is always related to sin instead of the other way around?
Sin is related to sickness? Is that what I said?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be sickness is always related to sin? I was just having trouble understanding it.
Yeah. In other words, there is a relationship between sin and sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Sin brought sickness.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's sickness, meaning sin kills, steals, and destroys.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's sin in a life, at any measure, it is doing some kind of stealing, killing, and destroying within an individual. The other reason, or added to this, of why we need healing is because as long as the devil is loose, just hold your thought, make a note and hold your thought. As long as the devil's loose on earth, death reigns on earth. Especially in those that are not living in the supernatural life of God by faith. It says, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you. In other words, if there's a great measure of the life of Jesus dwelling in you, then the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. That's why, and I know we talked a little bit about this maybe yesterday, is death, which always brings loss. Anytime death is working in a situation, it is bringing loss to the situation, and that's why it so impacts a person, because it's a separation of something dear, which is really the care of God. Anytime death is working in us, we are losing the care of God in a tangible way, in a physical way, in an emotional way, or in a spiritual way. Anytime we start feeling separated from God, death is working in us. So, what is healing? You know, I think a lot of people, because they feel it probably more, they talk about it more, except for maybe what Maureen does as a nurse, is they think that we only think of physical healing when we think of healing. But there are physical healings, there are emotional healings, and there are spiritual healings. And these healings are just as real as physical healings. Mm-hmm. And many times, healings in your spirit, your heart, your very depth of your heart, or your mind, initiates the physical healing. Because to heal means to restore to health. Or to restore to the original purity. Or the original integrity. See, some people are emotionally traumatized by things they've done because they lost their integrity. And so they need to be restored and healed in their mind. Now, in Psalm 103, it talks about He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. And I've always liked looking up that word heal in the Hebrew because it means to cure. Or repair thoroughly. Now, when you think of curing, if somebody says, oh, I was cured of that, and not the, doubt thought if I'm in remission, but I have been cured, that means the disease is no longer there, it has been eliminated. So when God brings healing to a person, He doesn't just make them feel better, even though that's a great indication something's happened. He actually eliminates the cause of the disease. Think about how you, what you experience when you're healthy. When you're healthy, you just feel really good in all parts of you. Some people look really good outwardly, but they're not really good on the inside. So they're not really in harmony. Some people that don't look so good outside are at more peace than some people that look really good outside. I mean, think about some people, the working out they do, and I'm not against working out because I have been working myself out too. But those that work on one area of themselves but don't understand they're a three-part being. And so they're very maybe healthy in the body but not in the mind and in the heart. In other words, they've only looked at health being for the body. And not really realizing that they could have a sin in their life that doesn't maybe affect the outer body, but is affecting their mind. Now, the reason that God has chosen to bring leaders in the body of Christ is because a minister should transfer this to other people to help them to transfer it to other people. Because when you're hearing something that maybe you've just never thought about before, maybe you've thought of some of these things before, but maybe you didn't realize that right now, because this is what the Lord has told me I'm to minister, that we need to be thinking about this right now in the hour that we're living in because of the stress in the hour that we're living in. You know, I've been thinking, if a lot of people are going to have crazy things happen to their healthcare program, how would they feel if they had none? Or, you know, what are they going to do, and are they going to look to that as their source? Because what's going on could not only affect, you know, maybe they say everybody could have a doctor, but they even said on the news last night there won't be enough doctors. So they'll have to start bringing in nurses and other things to handle medical insurance or health insurance for all of the people. And then this limitations on tests. I mean, we have no idea completely what this can do to people, or waiting in long lines, having to wait to get something done because there aren't enough appointments available. I mean, I'm just, you know, I've been thinking about what is this going to do? What's the potential of what this could do for people? So, our part in hearing from the Lord is to open people's minds to think things that maybe they weren't thinking that need attention right now. I know the Lord told me before the beginning of this year, I want you to take better care of yourself because of what's coming. In other words, and it's not just physically, even though yes, physically, but mentally, emotionally. I want you to be a good steward of yourself in a higher manner in this hour because of what is on the horizon. Because if you're in better shape, spirit, soul, and body, you can walk through things with greater ease than if there's a lot of turmoil. I'm going to pause. There's so much more, but I'm going to pause for this morning and open it up to maybe some questions and discussions, because I don't believe I'm to shift over into the finale of this, which we're going to get into great depth. I'll give you an idea of some things we'll talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what the healing promises are based on, where does sickness come from, what pays our debt. Since sin was paid for once and for all, why don't I remain in health all the time since I initially received Christ? What is the process of forgiveness? That one's going to be really, really powerful. I know it's going to help a lot of people. And when I forgive or am forgiven, does the relationship restore immediately that was injured? So, and I'm going to talk about the three kinds of sin that interfere with us, spirit, soul, and body. So, we will pause for now.